Welcome to Family Policy Matters, an engaging and informative weekly radio show and podcast produced by the North Carolina Family Policy Council. Hi, this is John Rustin, president of NC Family, and we're grateful to have you with us for this week's program. It's our prayer that you will be informed, encouraged, and inspired by what you hear on Family Policy Matters, and that you will feel better equipped to be a voice of persuasion for family values in your community, state, and nation. And now here is our host of Family Policy Matters, Tracy DeVette Griggs.
Thanks for joining us this week for Family Policy Matters. You may have heard about the rise of so-called nuns, N-O-N-E-S. That's people with no religious affiliation. Well, interestingly, many of these people consider themselves to be spiritual, but not religious. Well, what are the implications for our culture, and how do we go about sharing our faith when this is the case? Well, John Bartunek, who recently released a book on this very topic, is joining us today. The book is called Spiritual But Not Religious: The Search for Meaning in a Material World. It looks at this growing trend and offers insight into how we can engage with the quote-unquote spiritual but religious, perhaps members of our own families and in our communities. Well, one interesting factoid about our guest, he provided spiritual support on the set of Mel Gibson's movie, The Passion of the Christ. Father John Bartunek, welcome to Family Policy Matters.
Well, thank you so much for having me.
The suicide rate in the U.S. has been rising rapidly in the past few years. The statistics are actually startling, and the number of clinically depressed is very high, especially among women, where it's hovering around 10%. So how do we explain today's lack of fulfillment and community despite living in a country of abundance and seemingly having everything at our fingertips?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think there's probably many different causes which come together in different ways for different people. But as a priest, in the contact that I have with people in the confessional and in various forums, I can definitely say that the lack of a sense of meaning, of transcendent purpose in life, is definitely one of those factors that's contributing to this. In the sense that, yeah, we have a lot of material abundance. We have a lot of possibilities for staying connected with people on a superficial level, but we're actually made for more. You know, we're spiritual beings in God's vision, how He created us. So we actually yearn for some kind of meaning that goes beyond the passing material things.
But why is religious less attractive, and how does this create problems for us?
So the concept of this book, the difference between spirituality and religion, is really an important distinction for this book, spiritual but not religious. I mean, when I kind of got the idea for the book, it was after an extended period of time. I mean, I used to hear people say, I'm spiritual but not religious, even back in the 90s. But in the last 10 years or so, I've heard it many more times, more and more frequently. And so I started asking people to tell me what they mean by that, rather than just assuming that I knew what they meant. And in those conversations, it kind of brought up, there's various reasons that people are not attracted to religion, and maybe we can talk about those later. But what attracts people to spirituality is, when they say spiritual, what they mean is, well, I've had some sort of transcendent experience, some sort of experience that touched me more deeply than any material pleasures or any material success. And I like that. It resonated deeply with me. And I value that. And I'd love to have more of that type of experience. So when they say spirituality, they're talking about my experience of transcendence, transcendent meaning, true, good, beautiful, all the, you know, all the things that lead us to God, right? Unfortunately, because of various reasons in the history of our culture and in people's lives, many people think that religion is actually disassociated from that transcendent meaning. So that when they think of religion, they don't think of someone who's spiritual. They think of someone who maybe follows some rules, someone who is very judgmental. So they don't associate the two things. So there's this divorce. And I think that's one of the reasons why people will continue to say, I'm spiritual, but not religious.
I wonder if many people make their judgment about religion, especially Christianity, without ever having delved in or looked deeply at the beliefs there.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point. And, you know, it does happen still. People will pick up the Bible, or people will walk into a church and something strikes them, something of the beauty, something of the truth. And people are still, you know, converting, joining the church. experiencing God, growing in holiness. So this is still happening. It's not a complete wasteland, right? But I think there's certain prejudices which are often subconscious that people have against their traditional religion, which usually happens to be some sort of Christianity, right? What they think, and this ties in with one of the reasons why they think religion doesn't have anything to do with spirituality. They have maybe had experiences of people who are very religious, but don't seem to be very spiritual. In other words, they meet people who are very faithful to the norms of the church, to the teachings of whatever church they belong to, but in their daily lives, they don't seem to have that sense of joyful purpose, that sense of adventure. I'm seeking to discover more of the meaning of life. And so they seem kind of spiritually dead or dormant. So if that's how they think of religion, then they're going to have this prejudice. Even if they pick up a Bible, they're going to say, oh, the Bible, that's what made so-and-so the way they are. And I don't like the way they are, so I don't read the Bible. So they can have these prejudices, I think, which will keep them from really opening themselves up to the spiritual dimension, which is at the heart of religion. And the sense of search, right? That, okay, even we who are believers, we have the answers to life's deepest questions. But even though we have the answers, we can continue to discover all the richness of the truth and goodness and beauty of God. Those answers, you know, kind of the formula answers, the truths as expressed in the scriptures, those help us along our journey. But the journey to holiness, to deeper communion with God, is something that doesn't stop on this side of heaven. And many times I think we forget that. And we think that, well, I've got to have all the answers, so I'm supposed to be complete as a Christian. And so we lose that sense of dynamism in our own spiritual growth. And so that's where I think we can sometimes, without realizing it, communicate a certain deadness to our religion, a certain static. It's like a static type of religion rather than a dynamic religion. And people who have experienced some spirituality and felt moved by some experience of truth, goodness, and beauty, they want more. So they have a sense that I'm still searching. They have a sense that the spiritual life is dynamic. So if we recognize that and kind of can dialogue about that, then I think we can connect with these people and really build some bridges.
Wow, that just makes me sad for believers. If that's the case, there's a sense perhaps in their lives that this searching and wrestling is not appropriate.
Yeah, but I think it's there. And I think some people sometimes actually even feel a little bit guilty if they have some questions. They say, well, I'm actually a believer. I practice my faith. I pray. So I'm supposed to feel satisfied and joyful all the time. And so they might even have a tendency to silence some of the questions, some of the struggles. And that's unfortunate. I think we need to create kind of forums as believers where we can actually really be sincere and honest. And even I've noticed sometimes people, they don't feel free to actually be completely honest in prayer. And they'll say, well, I can't complain to God because that would be a sin. Well, actually, not necessarily. If you look at the book of Psalms, which is the prayer book of the Bible, right? You know, a third of the Psalms are complaints. They're just cries of the heart. How long, O Lord? You know, where are you? Why have you abandoned me? So the whole drama of the human experience is still part of our lives as Christians. The difference is that we know where we're going and we don't travel, we don't engage or kind of endure that drama all by ourselves. We have God, we have the saints, we have each other, we have the sacraments. So I think that the drama is important for us to give ourselves permission to experience it ourselves. And then we really can connect with those who are experiencing the drama without knowing what the right path is.
So when you talk about in your book, the temptation for believers to be religious and not spiritual, is this what you're talking about?
Yeah, it's the temptation to think that the essence of religion is complying with certain rules or laws or formulas. And that's not the essence. The essence of true religion, Christian religion, is a relationship with God. You know, Jesus said, I no longer call you slaves, I call you my friends. So the whole concept of grace is that we participate in God's own life. We enter into that joyful exchange of relationships, which is the Trinity. So the essence of religion is always a relationship. When sometimes in different seasons of our life, if we get busy or we lose sight of that, or just even because of the spiritual battle that's going on, sometimes we lose sight of that and we just reduce our religion to certain practices. And so then we can become a little bit like the Pharisees. Remember the Pharisees in the gospel, who they were following all the rules, but they had really lost their capacity to hear the voice of God speaking to them in a relational way. So they didn't even recognize Jesus. And that's always the danger for someone who's a true committed believer, that we can become more like the Pharisees and lose sight of that centrality of a relationship, dynamic relationship.
Right. And you actually wonder, don't you, if believers who fall into that trap have stopped reading the Word, because those themes of grace and a relationship are all through the Bible.
Yeah, I think that can definitely be part of it. Although, you know, the Bible never exists in a vacuum, right? You know, to have contact with the Word of God and to be enriched by that and to be enlivened and continue to be guided takes a certain context of living life in the Holy Spirit, under the guidance of the Holy Spirit. So there's plenty of skeptical scholars who study the Bible all the time, and they might not even be believers, right? But they study it as the text, you know, as kind of a literary work. So it's possible to have contact with the Word without it actually nourishing our hearts. So that's why it's important to continue to cultivate all the different areas of our lives as Christians, which are important for us to keep growing. Personal prayer, which obviously you can combine with the Scriptures. And then fellowship, I mentioned that earlier. Intentional growth in virtue. You know, how am I imitating Christ in my relationships, in my daily life? And then also being engaged in the mission, responding to the inspirations of God to actually go out and help others find Christ. That's an essential element of being a Christian. So if we're not doing that, we're beginning to get a little arteriosclerosis in our spiritual arteries. We have to kind of be responsible and keep active in different areas of our lives in order to really live leaning on the Holy Spirit, and that enables us to continue to receive from the Word of God all that God wants to give us.
Wow, you know, that is a great checklist, I think, to look at that in our lives and say personal prayer, fellowship, intentional growth, and engaged on mission. And so if some of those are lacking, I think that's a good practical list for us to do some self-assessment. So for those of us who know people who have family members that use this term, they are spiritual without being religious, how can we reach out to them? What are some unique ways that we can do that?
So that's a great question. It's one of the reasons that I wrote this book, Spiritual But Not Religious. But bottom line, there's two things we can do. One is, you know, when you meet someone who would consider themselves spiritual but not religious, ask them sincerely to tell you about their spiritual experiences. And then listen really sincerely and try to get to know that and try to even enrich yourself from what they've experienced. Because if they say that, they've had some sort of spiritual experience that's been meaningful to them. So just hear that. And that in itself can begin to build a bridge, because they might know that you're religious, and then they see you actually listening to them and valuing their own spiritual experience. Wow, maybe, you know, that can help lower some of their prejudices. The second thing is, don't be afraid to share your own spiritual experiences. So you just help by witnessing to your own spiritual experiences, experiences of transcendent meaning, of truth, of goodness, of God's beauty, and how that has moved you. That can be a witness that can open them, take down that wall of prejudice against religion. And by listening to them share their experiences, same thing.
We're coming close to the end of our time here. Fortunately, we can go get your book. And it's called Spiritual But Not Religious, The Search for Meaning in a Material World. Can you tell us more about how we can find that?
Yeah, sure. You can find the information about that book and my other books at our website, rcspirituality.org. So rcspirituality.org is a great place to find this book and plenty of other stuff as well.
Thank you so much. John Bartunek, author of Spiritual But Not Religious, The Search for Meaning in a Material World. Thank you so much for joining us on Family Policy Matters.
You've been listening to Family Policy Matters. We hope you enjoyed the program and plan to tune in again next week. To listen to this show online and to learn more about NC Family's work to inform, encourage, and inspire families across North Carolina, go to our website at ncfamily.org. That's ncfamily.org. Thanks again for listening, and may God bless you and your family.